Okay, we're headed to... Where are we driving?
Copperas Cove, Texas.
Copperas Cove, Texas. I didn't want to try to say it first. Down, I keep saying Copras.
Yeah, down by Austin.
This is
just,
Matt,
just north of Austin.
Matt and Andrew make a podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Matt.
And this is not a video, but the next one will be.
Yeah.
All right. So we were just talking about all the different comedy stuff and promo stuff. What's the speed limit here?
I think 70 now.
Okay. We'll go 72. But we were talking about all the page you have. What's it called? Where you put the comics up?
Mike Warriors.
Mike Warriors. And the idea of doing that as a podcast sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
I also realized I cannot keep the same conversation going even if I try to get back into it once I know I'm recording. It's just a different...
Right.
I talk different for 3 minutes and then I get normal again.
Here's what I've been thinking. Because I do like the idea of making it a podcast as well. I think that's a good idea. I think it's a good... Like you said, bring people on. If I'm talking about somebody specific, bring somebody on that if it's not that person, bring somebody on that I know is a
fan.
Big fan, yeah, of that person, because they'll know more.
I would rather that, because then it's people talking about them, because I can go on and talk about myself all day, but it doesn't mean shit coming from me, because I have to like me. But if you say something good about me, there's some merit to it.
Right.
So I think the idea of just doing that and having one YouTube channel just for that, and then posting those videos, post the YouTube video on the Facebook, so you get the YouTube views from Facebook.
Here's the only issue I see with that is the whole point of the page is to, like you said, pepper in unknown up-and-coming comics into the same page conversation as some of the biggest comics there are or have been. You would be able to find a fan of all of those bigger name comics. You're going to have a harder time finding a fan of some of the smaller comics.
Go to their shows, get a random after the show. Just do a one camera setup, two people, lav mics like we got on now. Any room will work if you can get it. Like, after, you could do it at places like Comedy Avenue, you could do it at places like Bricktown Comedy Club when they have bigger people. You could just go, if you go to a show, just pick one person and be like, hey, would you mind just talking about the show that you know, like, paid to be there, sat front row, whatever. And you could do it. I bet Bricktown would let you use, like, an upstairs space as long as you're out in 20 minutes while they're cleaning. Because they have that extra space upstairs that's not, they don't rent it. But it's like a stairway and a bunch of halls and stuff. You could just do it up there.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that was...
Yeah, if you go to Bricktown in OKC, not the Tulsa one, if you go to Bricktown Comedy Club, right inside the door, there's stairs. Those stairs go up to, like, there used to be a tattoo shop up there. There's, like, several little rooms. But you could do that, and then when it's, like, if Comedy Avenue grows the way I want it to, then, like, people like John would be maybe the first one. You go, hey, can I get you? You were sitting in the front row. You looked like you had a good time. Let's talk about John to a stranger. Or you could take the biography route, and you could learn everything there is to know about that person and go, Louis C.K. was born in Mexico in 1947. I don't know. He's not that old, but, like,
right,
maybe 1960?
Yeah, I would say.
It's probably about my mom's age. My mom's 27, by the way. I forgot I can't say my mom's over 40 on a podcast. My dad will find it. But, yeah, I think if you did it like...
Your dad doesn't know that your mom's over 40 yet?
No. He still thinks she's 17. Says a lot about my dad.
Yeah, I always thought of your dad as a fairly intelligent person.
He's pretty smart.
Yeah. Welcome to Scotland.
Scotland.
Have you seen the deal where you can buy, like, a 1-foot by 1-foot section of land in Scotland? You have one.
Kind of. Here's why. Mike Evans bought that. He bought 1 square foot of land in Scotland or Ireland or somewhere so that he could become Lord Mike Evans and legally change his name to Lord. His first name's Lord. His middle name is Mike, and his last name is Evans. There's no, like, Michael Scott Evans. It's just Lord Mike Evans. That's his name on his driver's license. I saw the legal documents of when he had it changed.
Really?
I was like, that's so funny. I was high on edibles, and now my dog, who is a boy, is Lady Seven Patterson. For real. I bought my dog 1 square foot of land, so he's Lady Seven Patterson. They didn't ask, like, they didn't say gender, they said Lord or Lady, so my dog is a lady, but he's a boy.
So you have a transgender dog.
A transgender
that is
gay vegan dog.
Royalty. In Scotland.
Yeah.
Owns land.
Yeah, he owns land.
She. He.
They own land.
They.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's, I did that because I was high, and it's a thing I do for me. I do things for me a lot. Like, I do things, I'm like, I'm not going to go fucking tell Mike, but, like, if he ever hears about it, that's funny. We're not, like, sworn enemies, like, we're not friends, we just kind of, we're acquaintances that have met each other that have competing shops, and I say competing, but not really. He has his clients, I have my clients, we're not in competition anyway.
Right.
But when I first opened in town, my health inspector had just got tattooed by me. I opened in Lawton, tattooed my health inspector the first year, and then when she did my second inspection, which was like 6 months after my initial, she was in town to check out Mike's shop because he had just moved, and she said, I was talking to him about it, and he said he's really confident that he's going to be, with the new location and everything, the most successful tattoo artist and shop in town. He said the only competition he's worried about is you, but since you don't do color, it's not a big deal because he specializes in color. And I was like, that's fair. Did you show him the color tattoo I did on you? And she was like, no, but I was grinning the whole time. So it's just a funny thing. But he's a really good tattoo artist. Like, it's not, yeah, like, yeah, there's yeah. nothing, I'm not trying to be a dick
Very
about
talented.
It. I just thought it was so funny that he, like, did all that to change his name, and he's literally named, like, his name is Lord now. Like, in bed, you think his girl calls him Lord?
I don't know.
Oh, Lord. What if she's, like, a peasant and he's a lord? And she's, like, bringing in some fucking, like, a little... What's it called? It's like a... Maybe a stein. Maybe she brings in, like, a stein with some beer in it. And then...
He's into that life altogether. Yeah, you know, the braided beard. And
that's all kind of new, though. Like, has, the Viking
like,
shit.
Swords like, and shit.
That's, like, the last 5 years, I think.
Really?
He's always been into weapons, and I've been told that he was a little more wild back in the day, but I don't know. I wasn't around for that.
He's traveled around, and tattooed in a lot of countries.
He was on the Cheyenne Pro Team for a while, and they had him tattooing in Germany. They, like, part of being on the Pro Team is they give you a booth and a bunch of free needles and shit like that, and... he wasn't the top name on the list, but if you went to their website a few years back, you could scroll down and... said Lord Mike Evans there, and that's quite an achievement. Like, yeah. Cheyenne's they invented the safety cartridge, which is like, it revolutionized tattooing. It also has made tattooing really dangerous because people are fucking idiots and don't know how to use them. But
what is the safety cartridge?
It's you know how, like, we used to have the long, it's a regular needle, it's the same length, it's about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches long, and then it's attached to a needle bar that's more like 4 or 5 inches,
yeah,
that hooks on the machine. The cartridge is now, it's all that needles in one thing, and you just twist it. It's a half turn in, a half turn out, so you can run one machine and have 10 fucking needles on your tray and just switch them out. Where it used to be, every needle needs another machine. So if I was doing the tattoo I did on you, I would have had 4 machines out. Or you go, well, I don't want to get out 4 machines, so I'll get out 3, and I'll just use the 3 and 5, I'll just use the 5 for both, and then you lose something because you're being lazy.
Right.
So it cuts down on that, and it's making tattooing easier has made tattoos better. Like, people are like, oh, the technology's so good now. It's not really that. It's not like the tattoos are any different. It's just like, we don't have to work as hard to achieve the same thing. And I don't mean, like, skills. I mean, it's physical work. Like, tattoo artists that are good artists, laziness is usually when a tattoo doesn't turn out good.
Right.
I would say laziness is 90% of failed tattoos. 95. Hmm. Fuck it.
95.
Well, tattooers are inherently lazy people. Like, there's a reason we don't want jobs.
Yeah.
Like, we started noon.
Now we gotta backtrack. Where were we?
Lord Mike Evans, he owns a square foot of land, and my dog is Lady Seven Patterson, even though he's a boy.
You should introduce your dog to Mike. Like, y'all are both property owners.
I don't know. He gets a little... angry about things sometimes. I don't know if he would take that as lightly as you and I would. Like, if somebody came up to me and they were like, hey, I named my dog Solomon because I think your middle name's gay, I'd be like, sweet, that's funny. I wouldn't, like, I'd be like,
your middle name's Solomon?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know you didn't know, my man.
Nope, but I do now.
Now about 18 people are gonna know. Maybe Solomon. 20 if we have a good episode. Yeah, Andrew Solomon Patterson. I was named after the most prolific pimp in the world.
It doesn't surprise me that you have a biblical name.
Right.
Andrew's not in the Bible, is it?
Yeah. Andrew's one of the apostles, isn't he?
I don't know.
There's like a whole book of Andrew. It's not like a book, but there's like a thing about Andrew. It's a Bible name. I know that.
Andrew is. I didn't know that.
Well, can you ask Siri real quick? Because I say I know that, but I said that with too much confidence.
I'm hey, Siri. Is Andrew a name in the Bible?
Here's what I found.
Christian meaning of names.
No, we want to know if it's in the Bible, not the Christian.
Easton's Bible Dictionary, Andrew.
My name
manliness?
Means, yeah, my name means strong, manly, and wise. My mom told me that every day when I was a kid, and I turned out weak, feminine, and funny. Which are not those three things.
I also like how my Siri has gotten, like, she's very dismissive. Like, I'll say, hey, Siri, and she goes, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She sounds like a black lady serving you some good barbecue.
Yeah. Like,
she doesn't have the manners she needs. That's pretty. Dude, I fucking love houses. Like, I drive by a house that's just, like, black and white, and if it's, I mean, that was an old house that was not very big or anything. I'm just like, it just looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, that looks like it would be in my neighborhood, so it's not exciting. That looks like it would be in a small town near my neighborhood. Not exciting. But a lot of houses, I look at them and get excited.
Do you have... I feel like everybody, if they don't, everybody should do this. Like, you've on the way down here, like, you've already pointed out one way. You're like, that's what I want.
Right.
Do you have, like, a floor plan of your ideal house in your mind?
No hallways. It's a big thing for me. You walk in, you're already in the house. There's, like, a little entry area. It opens up to everything's one space. Kitchen's on the right. Doors to two rooms are on the left. You go behind the kitchen to go to the other two rooms. And then the back has a bunch of glass. And I can literally see it in my head. We almost built it. And Brandy was fine with it, but, like, I think hallways are a huge waste of space. And, like, open floor plans with doors that just don't face out into the open floor plan. You just face the door a different way. You don't need a hallway. Like, I could draw it. It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
But, like...
I've got the idea for my house is very, very open also, but it is, it does, it, the front door goes into a hall, but it's...
And then,
bedroom on the right, bathroom on the left. It's very short hall.
Yeah.
Extra bedroom on the right, bathroom on the left, and then open living room, kitchen on the opposite side of the living room's doorway to the master bedroom.
The problem with all this is, I think, especially if we do our garage, I don't think either of us will ever actually move out of that house. Like, I think it would take an amount of success that is so crazy that I need to move for, like, safety reasons.
Yeah.
To actually get me out of the house. That being said, I might just keep it and give it to one of the kids or sell it to one of the kids cheap and not live in it as long as I know it's in the family. Or I might say, you can live in it. I'll rent it to you for $5 a month, but I don't want to get rid of it, so I'm not even going to rent it to you normal because then you might try to talk me out of buying it.
Right.
Like, that, I could see that happening, but, like, actually, I don't know what it is. Like, something about living there, like, I don't like that we have 400 friends now. Because, like, I'm glad Asher's having fun, but our house is just rampant, running over with boys all the time.
I think that when your kids start getting older, that your opinion will change.
And then I'll be like, I want more people coming over, like,
no,
when they're teenagers?
No.
Oh.
Right now, even though you think it annoys you, when all of a sudden that stops happening as much, then you're like, damn. Like, it's really,
well, no, it's not that it annoys you.
Because right now, being in the neighborhood that you're in, there's lots of other kids, your kids' age. That's good for them. Your kids get older, they start to go, and you're like, we don't really need neighbors anymore.
Right.
Let's go somewhere where we don't.
Yeah, and we already have that lot out by Madison Park, but I like the idea of building something on it, but I don't think I'm going to.
Yeah.
Also, like, I keep getting calls from big companies offering me money, so, like, I'm like, one guy called, and he tried to pretend he was a regular person, and we looked him up. He had just retired. And I think he took a job for one of those giant, we found his LinkedIn, but he had just taken a job for one of those, what is it called, like Blackstone or something? They're literally buying up, like, probably 10 or 15% of all houses. Like, they're going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he works for something like that, and they call, and their method is, we imagine people that own land out in the country are probably, if they're in Oklahoma, looking, they're more likely to sell to a good old boy than a corporation.
Right.
Like, if they don't need the money, they're going to negotiate up really hard, and if they don't like you, they're going to go even harder.
Yeah.
But if you're just a nice guy that just retired, and you're just looking to move, you want to build a small house, and you think it's a good area, that's different. So I've had multiple phone calls from the same guy, but it's different guys, if that makes sense. Same exact story, basically.
Right.
I just recently retired. I'm looking to buy some land. I have some friends that live in the area. They told me this was a good area. I haven't been out there yet. I'd like to check it out. I noticed the market value for what your house is, or your land is and all that. And then they tell me all the things that we might need to do before we can sell it. Like, does it have a water meter and all that? And then they say, I would start around, you know, maybe 35.
Do you have it listed?
No.
So then it has to be corporations that are out there looking for land that's undeveloped.
Or it's actually a true story one of these five times.
Right.
It could actually be a true story of one of my neighbors.
Does the lot out there, does it have a water meter on it already? No.
No, it did. And then we tried to get the water meter, and the guy that owns it thinks that he sold it to somebody else or owned it before us. He's an attorney. He just bought all that land and, like, cut it out into one-acre lots and then sold the lots and put water meters on them. So the problem is, he thinks he sold it to Roger Lopez, who is a home builder. I don't know why he thinks that, but he keeps sending Roger Lopez shit, and Roger Lopez came to my shop once and was like, hey, dude, I don't know why I keep getting mail for you, but this guy thinks I'm you. Like, he's sending it to Roger Lopez for me. Like, it's about the land I own. Roger Lopez has never fucking had anything to do with it, except we had him appraise, like, we talked to him about building a house. So, I guess the guy that owned it was trying to get Roger to pay for the meter to be transferred or whatever, which is like a small fee. It's not much. And then you pay like $20 a month to keep it out there or something. But Roger wasn't going to do that. And I can't get a hold of the guy. And I told Roger, like, hey, if you ever hear from him, like, in person, like, if he calls you or whatever, give him my name, my number, tell him I own Avenue Tattoo, whatever you need to do, get him to get a hold of me. And I've called his office several times, but nothing ever comes of that. I can't get a hold of him. Like, if I was one of his clients, I'm sure I could.
Right.
But I understand he's an attorney. He probably doesn't want random people calling him. So I gave up, and at some point, the water meter went missing. So you'd have to buy a water meter. But he was
Which is tough, too, because in some of those water districts out there, they're limited to the number of water meters per district.
Yeah. So
then when people come in and they start overbuilding, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, wait, we...
Well, I had a guy, and there's not a lot of new development within a mile of it, but there is, you know, there's probably been 30 houses built within a mile since we bought it, so enough it might matter. But I had a guy that... have you ever seen somebody find a water well or find a spot to drill for a well with
witcher,
sticks?
Witcher sticks, yeah.
That's a real thing, apparently.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that work?
I don't know. I've done it.
A guy that...
You can do it with any... You can take a coat hanger, straighten it out, cut it in half, and then bend it into an L shape, and then just hold them out, like, just where they're just hanging in your hands, and just walk real slow, and they'll fucking cross over the top of waterline.
Okay, because that's what he said, too. A guy tattooed, he said he's had that done enough that he knows how to do it now. And he was like, out in that area, you're not going to have a problem. You just might have to drill really deep. And then I have another client that owns an oil company that drills water wells in Haiti and some other places like that as like a charity thing. Mm-hmm. He just, with his own money and his crew, pays them $10 an hour, which is not great, but pays them enough they're not going to, when they're between jobs and they want to be working, they'll take a month and they'll go drill a couple wells in fucking Haiti just to be nice. And this guy's cool as fuck. His name's Robert. I wish I could remember his last name because I'd give him a shout out. He's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
But he's been doing that for years. And apparently you can find water anywhere if you drill deep enough. So I asked that guy. I was like, how much would it cost to have you just bring the small rig out there and just drill? He's like, you don't need that much to drill for water in Oklahoma. And I was like, well, whatever you would need, how much would it cost? He goes, I mean, we could drill you a water well for a tattoo. Like, it's not a big deal. So, I mean, I think it's usually maybe $2,000 or $3,000 at most. Does that sound right?
I don't know. I've never... I always assumed that it would have been more than that.
I thought it would maybe be crazy expensive.
That's just drilling. That's not including the cost of the
pump.
Yeah,
that's not piping it out and everything. Yeah. That's just drilling. But my brother can do the rest. So, I was thinking I would just do well water. And that's when I got into looking at solar. I was going to do off the grid with everything. And I still, like, long-term, I might do that. We might build a two-bedroom, like, log cabin just for me and Brandy once the kids are out of the house and, like, we're older or whatever. But let's say, hypothetically, you become Rodney Carrington 10 years ago level.
Yeah.
And then you have me open for you every third show. And on every time I open, you give me fucking $5,000. And then I start getting noticed, and I got three other people doing that. And I'm making decent money to where I could buy or build anything I want in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think all I would do is fucking try to build a steel building in that bitch and, like, have just a regular barn dough. I don't even think I would... I don't know what's wrong with me, but I don't want... I don't want the stress of building nearly as bad as I... Like, I want peace and no stress so much that I would rather live in it. If I could put it out there without bothering my neighbors, I would just buy a double wide, because that's an easy... You make a phone call, they set it down, and that's it. Like, you just plug it up. But I would live in a double wide just to not build a house, because I've seen what building a house does to relationships and people in general, and it's like...
Well, but... Yes.
It seems like a lot.
At normal people levels...
When money matters.
Yes. But, like, when you're one of those guys and you can go, hey, here's the land I own, this is the type of house I want.
And then you just...
Holler when it's done.
Live in Costa Rica for 6 months while they're working on it. Don't even come back. Like, right. Just come back for gigs, stay at an Airbnb, don't go to Lawton at all.
Right. Because my deal is, like, I don't need... The house we want... The house I want is kind of two-part, where it's the house I described to you, but also under the same roof with a breezeway in between, open to the outside. Not even a shop. I want a large room to where all family events are done at our house.
Yeah, just like a garage that's air-conditioned and has drywall.
Right. It's got a pool table, you know, a massively long table where the family can all sit at one table and stuff. But what I want more than anything is I want that to sit in the middle of a 1 mile section.
Just to where it's not close to the
nobody,
road.
Nobody can build on the same section I'm on.
And that's the other thing about the 1 acre I own. My neighbor to the left owns like 2 or 3 acres, so they're on the furthest part from me. So there's at least an acre between them, and they're not gonna get rid of it. Like I can tell you by looking at their house, these are not the kind of people that are letting fucking neighbors come in.
Right.
Like they built a big ass cool house. They're very like country type people. And then to the right, normal-ass house. To the right of that, normal-ass house. To the right of that, a barn dough with a brick veneer.
Right.
I would do something like that barn dough with a brick veneer, probably. But you're right. I think if we said, hey, here's 5 things we like, 5 houses, color schemes, surfaces, you know, talking about marble or whatever it is, granite, whatever the countertop is, I could go, Brandy picks everything because we agree on what things should look like. So Brandy picks all materials based on what she wants them to look like. And then says, I want it to look like this. Not, I want it to be this. So if I want it to look like quartz, because quartz is sparkly, but there's another metal that they think is a better, another stone they think is a better idea, do that. If we could be gone for the whole process and afford for it to go over budget by 100%, then yes, I agree, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
But I've watched so many. And also, it's mostly that the builders around here suck balls. Like, most of the builders, like, I don't think there's a builder that I would fully trust to not go check on them, just to let it go. Where if you had that kind of money, you hire a builder out of Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Dallas, whatever, and you just go, hey, I got the 1 acre. I want to take up the back half of it with fucking house and be far off the road. I don't need much of a backyard. And here's 20 pictures of things I like. And here's the list of things Brandy said she wants for faucets and all that shit. And here's the general rough draft of the... Like, we'll do like a fake blueprint and go, these are minimums. If you can make it bigger, each room can be bigger but not smaller than these numbers.
Right.
Slide that across, and then anytime I'm not working, I'm in a different state. Just make sure I'm not allowed in Oklahoma until I have a house.
Right.
I would do it that way, no problem. And I don't think that's going to be stressful. But that's like, we're talking like, I'd have to be making $2 million a year for me to even think about that. And that's not, I'm not saying that's impossible, but it's not something I'm... My ambition has very little to do with money, therefore I'm probably not going to hit that number in the near future. And by the time I do, if I do, I probably won't give a fuck about a big house.
Right.
Or if I do, it'd be more like your thing. Because that sounds like, it's like I want my kids coming over when they're adults. So what's the best way? Make it the party room. Make it the, we're having so-and-so's birthday party. We got grandkids. They can come fucking mess up this huge room and just don't hit holes in the wall. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
Like my wife's client with the fucking gym I told you about. I guarantee you they have fucking birthday parties in that thing.
Yeah.
You got a gym over 2,000 square feet. Like, I still don't get that.
Yeah, it's insane.
And she's pretty good with spatial awareness, so she said about the size of Dakota's Grow, which is 2,500 square feet. So, I'm just like, that's huge.
I think that's always been my goal, is is to be on a 1 mile section, mm-hmm. house in the middle. I would divvy the, you know, of course I've always, you know, wanted a few cows and shit like that too. It's just, you know,
you can have like,
from me,
if you have 100 acres, you could have like 20 or 30 cows pretty easy. And
yeah,
it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, and I don't even know that I would run that many. Maybe just I would just five. I'd have one bull, and you know, five to nine, you know, cows, and just keep the bull on them year round. But divide that mile into four sections. One section is a pond and a play area, where when we have grandkids, they've got go-karts, they've got four-wheelers, they can go fishing at the pond. The pond is, you know, kept up, build a dock on it, we can go swim. Like, kids can have a great life. And then the other three, where we'd be alternate the livestock from one section to another. And then, just like I said, then just have the house right in the middle, single driveway comes up to it, all family events are held at our house in the big room. But it's only got one extra bedroom.
That's smart.
One extra bedroom that we would probably put two sets of bunk beds in, so that when we get to grandkid level.
Like, but otherwise, like, oh, you need to come move back home? Let's just find you a good deal on a trailer and put it way the fuck over there.
Right, which is the other thing that we talk about. Like, because once you get to that point, of course, these are all, you know, when we hit the $800 million lottery and shit like that, would be... I'd love to, I've got three kids, on the three sides, half mile away from me, build a house.
Yeah.
Out by the road.
Right, where they have a driveway. The other direction. They have a 100-foot driveway, you have a half mile driveway.
Right.
Yeah.
And all everybody's houses, you're a half mile away from each other, you still have your privacy.
If you have go-karts and razors, you can, in the middle of the night, you can cruise over to Dad's house.
Right. Yeah. But so that way our kids are all there, but nobody else can build on this mile section.
Yeah, that's...
Keep your family close. Grandkids can, you know, ride their go-karts up, come stay the night.
My brother and sister are accidentally developing that because my brother bought a house from his in-laws. It's a really big, nice house out... Well, you know kind of where it's at, near... it's on McIntosh.
Okay.
Or it's near McIntosh. I don't know if it's on there, but it's that area.
It's where I've been working the last couple days, out on McIntosh.
Oh, well, it's a nice house... And then they bought it from my sister-in-law's parents. And her brother bought a house that's pretty much next door. And then there's a little weird gap where there's like another family. And then right on the other side of that is my sister just bought some land out there. And she's building a house. So they're... think without getting on anybody else's property, they can walk like down to like where a creek used to be and kind of walk to each other's house, but it's smarter to just take the road.
Yeah.
But they're, if they could just buy that one family's house, then it would be all Sadler Patterson land, or McGriff is my sister's name, but you know, our family and their family would own everything for about probably a half mile.
Yeah.
And my brother's got, I think it's like 8 acres or something, and his front yard is like nice white fence that's like it's that like vinyl shit, but it just looks nice, and it's where his horses usually run around when they're like, he doesn't keep them out there because they'll get through it, but he'll like run them around and do stuff with them, and it's just a big giant patch of grass. One time I talked to him about buying it just to put a tiny tattoo shop there. I was like, hey, could I buy the front acre? Like just that first acre, and then I'll do a separate driveway, and then we'll put a big ass giant steel fence right behind it, so nobody can see your house from my shop. And then I'm outside of city limits, so I just do the state shit. I don't do the city shit. And then I could just work there. But we talked about that, and then I bought my 1 acre. And if I ever want to do that, now I have that option. There's also a body shop in the neighborhood where that acre is. So, like, I was worried about, like, the neighbors being like, this guy's having people come over every day. It won't matter if there's a fucking body shop in my neighborhood. I think it's fine.
Right.
But that's why I bought it, is I wanted to build a, like, a...
Is the acre that you bought, is it in Medicine Park?
It's not. It's on Four Mile Road.
Oh,
so it's really close.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just say out by Medicine Park because that's where it's not that close to Elgin.
Like,
but
if you did
Elgin
live there and somebody said where you live, you'd say I live Medicine Park.
Yeah. I'd say near LaTonka or Medicine Park.
Yeah.
I'd say out by the lake probably. I mean, it's really fucking close to the lake.
Right.
But where it's at, what I wanted to do, and what I like the idea of this still, but after remodeling the shop, I feel like there's no reason to. And I like the people I work with, and other than the fact that doing business right means there's people walking in and out of the shop all the time, I love the condition the shop's in right now. I like that I have a door and people don't immediately see me when they walk in. They have to kind of come around. I designed it completely with my privacy in mind. Just like...
Right.
Anyway, the plan was build... Basically, use the floor plans that you would use to build a standard, normal-ass house and a separated garage, a two-car garage with two separate doors. And then just glass out those two separate things. Do, like, the front of my shop, how it's just glass with the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that for the garage doors instead of where they're, like, same framing. And then if you ever wanted to turn it into a garage, it'll take a fucking weekend. And just have a bathroom, a big square space, and then on the back of it, instead of having a solid wall, just have more glass to where it's basically drive through. But those are just glass garage doors that actually do open.
Mm-hmm.
And then on really good weather days, I could open the doors, which would happen in Oklahoma 3 times a year. But the view out there is fucking gorgeous.
Right.
Like, where it's at just kind of looks like this, like just like mesquite trees and shit. But on the other side of all the trees, which are not very tall, you see Mount Scott. And when the sun sets, it's fucking gorgeous, dude. That's the only reason I bought it, was I just like where it is. Not,
right.
I wish I had that with no neighbors. But... my theory is, if I sell it just for money now, I'm going to regret it later. If I keep it, and then I find something even better, let's say I find 10 acres, a little more out in the country, same view, I could sell that, and that's kind of like a down payment on my 10 acres.
Right.
Like, if I wanted to buy something, I'm holding money. Like, that. I just think of that land as an asset right now. I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Because I know building's not for me. Unless I get rich. But that's 30 minutes.
All right.
All right, that was for whatever y'all are listening for. That was Matt and Andrew Make a Podcast episode something, and we'll do the next one on video. Have a good day. You gonna say anything or just me?
Goodbye.